out the donation form at careasy.org. Remember to designate WEFT as the nonprofit beneficiary, and we appreciate supporters like you. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for a pre-recorded interview with Nafi Ali and Tia Nellis of the Going Home Coalition. But first, disability news and a commentary for the week of July 26, 2021. The nonprofit ACT, which makes the test of the same name, said it will automatically provide permitted accommodations that are included in a student's existing Individualized Education Program or 504 plan. The change will start with the 2021-22 school year when students register for the ACT with accommodations. That means that students who already qualify for services under the IDEA or Section 504 of the Rehab Act won't have to go through a separate process to prove their eligibility for accommodations when taking the test. ACT said that both IDEA and Section 504 have rigorous requirements that schools must follow to determine who qualifies as having a disability and what types of accommodations they should receive for testing situations. ACT also said it is updating its system for accommodation requests to require less information and to accept requests for students with IEPs or 504 plans. Individuals with disabilities who do not have special education plans at school will still be able to seek accommodations, which ACT said would be evaluated using standards under the ADA. Advocates say that the Biden administration plan to invest $400 billion in community-based services and get people with disabilities off waiting lists is in jeopardy. The proposal, a part of the American Jobs Plan, sought to bring relief to many people with disabilities who are waiting for services while building the workforce of direct support professionals. Last month, congressional Democrats introduced the Better Care, Better Jobs Act, which is intended to serve as a framework for the Home and Community-Based Services Plan. The legislation would offer states a 10% increase in the matching funds they receive from the federal government for home and community-based services if they meet certain requirements. It also includes incentives for states to strengthen the direct care workforce. Now Senate Democrats are working to make good on the plan. They're currently piecing together the details of a $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill, which is expected to incorporate the Better Care, Better Jobs Act. But with numerous competing priorities in the massive spending package, disability advocates say they're alarmed by rumors that the amount allocated to Medicaid home and community-based services could be cut to $150 billion, less than half the $400 billion Biden called for. In response, Nicole Jorwick, Senior Director of Public Policy at the ARC, said, quote, a lower figure is simply inadequate to address the entrenched issues in the services system for people with developmental disabilities, end quote. Organizations including the ARC, the Autism Society, and the National Down Syndrome Congress have been urging their members to contact lawmakers to support the funding level that was initially proposed, and more than 400 disability service providers signed on to a letter to House and Senate leaders pushing for the full $400 billion to be included. A Paralympic swimmer who was deaf and blind is withdrawing from the Tokyo Games, saying that she had no choice after being told she couldn't have a personal care assistant accompany her. Becca Meyer said in a statement that she made the gut-wrenching decision because the U.S. Olympic and Paralympic Committee, quote, denied a reasonable and essential accommodation for me as a deafblind athlete to be able to compete in Tokyo, end quote. Since 2017, Meyer said that the committee has approved her mother to serve as her personal care assistant at all international meets, but because of COVID-19 restrictions, that accommodation was denied this time around. Meyer said she was repeatedly told by the committee that she did not need a personal care assistant who she trusts. Rather, there would be one assistant on staff to help her and 33 other Paralympic swimmers, including 9 who are visually impaired like her, she said. Myers won silver and bronze at the 2012 Paralympic Games in London and took home 3 gold medals and 1 silver at the 2016 Games in Rio de Janeiro. She was also named Best Female Athlete with a Disability at the 2015 ESPY Awards. Myers said, quote, I'm angry, I'm disappointed, but most of all, I'm sad not to be representing my country. I'm speaking up for future generations of Paralympic athletes in hope that they never have to experience the pain I've been through. Enough is enough, end quote. The Paralympic Games will be held in Tokyo from August 24th through September 5th. And finally, a commentary on this day, which celebrates 31 years since the signing of the Americans with Disabilities Act. 31 years ago, physical accessibility for people with disabilities was a dream. Today, that accessibility has increased significantly, though it hasn't reached everywhere in our world. What we have discovered in the past 31 years is that many accommodations help people to use wheelchairs, but they also help the public at large. Automatic doors, ramps, and curb cuts help the mobility of parents with strollers and even those with just a load to carry. Accommodations add to the quality of all our lives, not just for people with disabilities. Even more importantly, people with disabilities are gradually being recognized for the value that they bring to workplaces and our communities just because they can now get in the door. The important improvements of the ADA needs to continue to expand and improve physical access for all people, but let's not stop there. In my opinion, what really needs addressing is the stigma. The fact that if you didn't grow up knowing a person with a disability, whether physical, intellectual, or otherwise, you have inadvertently been taught that people with disabilities don't belong, can't participate, or need special places, special programs, and isolation from society. When children, including those with disabilities, are educated together from a young age and everyone gets the accommodations they need to be successful, the perception of disability changes dramatically. Children make friends. They can play together and learn to value each other without the misinformed view that some people need to live, work, and play somewhere else. In reality, people with disabilities need the same things that you and I need: friendship, a home, transportation, a social life, productive work, education, and the ability to pursue the causes or interests that they share with others. Let's give all of our kids a chance to grow and learn together, with the expectation that not everyone learns the same way, but each of us has value to offer the world when they are given the opportunity to express it. Happy 31st birthday, ADA, and thanks to all of the advocates who made it happen. And that's the news and commentary for this week. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only. Someday you'll join us, and the world will be one. Imagine no possessions. You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by two guests who were gracious enough to agree to be on the show today, kind of last minute. Nafia Lee, who has been on the program before, and Tia Nellis, who has not. Welcome to both of you, ladies.
Hi, good evening, Vicki.
And why don't we start out with introductions? And Tia, why don't you go first and just tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do?
That's okay. My name is Tia Nellis, and I am the Going Home Leader for the Going Home Coalition, and I also have many different hats. I'm a self-advocate and advocate for people with disabilities.
Yes, you do. We've known each other for a very long time, and I have every bit of respect for the work that you've done. Nafia, why don't you go next?
Hi, everybody, and thank you to Vicki for having us on your show tonight. My name is Nafia Lee, and I'm the Going Home Coalition Manager. I've been with the ARC of Illinois for about 2 years. Next month will be 2 years. And my background is mostly in nonprofit communications, and I've previously worked for the Quinn administration when Governor Quinn had announced the closures of a few of the state-operated developmental centers. So I'm here and excited to join you all again. Thanks so much.
Yeah, so we've been focusing the last couple of weeks on the issues with state-operated developmental centers. And I know that there have been some recent issues with the institution in Anna, the Schott Center, but it's been a standing issue in the state for as long as I've lived here, which is about 35 years now. We keep hoping that somebody will see the light and that these things will close down and that people will go to community settings. But that light went out of the tunnel when Governor Quinn did not win re-election, and he had actually closed at least one, maybe two. I'm forgetting. Mm-hmm. It was so. Anyway, what is the ARC doing now? What is the Going Home Coalition doing to help move this effort along and relieve my frustration, please?
Tia, do you want to go ahead and answer that?
Sure. So the Going Home Coalition advocates for community living. We're made up of a group of people with disabilities, family members, service providers, allies, that people should be able to live however they choose. This year, we're advocating for real choices for everyone. This means we want to make sure that people with disabilities know they have the right to live in the community, that they have the right to have a job, to live in the home that they choose. We're asking advocates to talk to the legislators about the guided rate house study that's out there. This report tells that Illinois needs to invest more in home and community-based services, and we're urging our state leaders to fund the recommendations in the report.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Tia. And I just wanted to add to that answer, Vicki, before we move on.
Sure.
It's really important that when we're talking about in state-operated developmental centers where people with intellectual developmental disabilities live, we have to talk about community capacity. So essentially what we're talking about here in the Going Home Coalition is we're not going to be able to close the state-operated developmental centers until the state prioritizes home and community-based services. So I just want to remind listeners that we really have to make sure that we have the capacity in the community, and we have to continue advocating, for instance, through this rate study recommendations, that the state needs to change this funding mechanism. Currently, we rely too much on funding institutional living, and we're urging the state to fund home and community-based living.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because there is money that goes to the state operations, the SODCs. There's money that goes to group homes. There's money that goes to some day programs. But other than that, there's not a lot of investment in like real community options, right? So,
yeah.
So what is the Going Home Coalition? What's your strategy for working with people on this?
So
well,
one of the
I think that there is there's a lot of strategy of being able to help people understand what the rate study is and being able to help people find their voice and tell their stories about what's important to them. Why do they think community is important? Why do they want a job? Why is it important to fund things like your direct support workers that are out there that need a decent pay for living, because those are the people that are out there helping people with disabilities be a part of their community. We need to have that voice to tell people why those things are important to us. If we're going to get any services in the community that are important to us, we need to be able to advocate for that.
Yeah, and you're such a great role model for that, that kind of structure and that kind of advocacy. Nafia, you want to add anything to what Tia said?
Yes, and I just want to kind of iterate to folks, especially when it comes to, you know, pushing for people in the institutions to know their rights to live in the community. The Going Home Coalition has done a really good job of often and very frequently communicating with the Division of Developmental Disabilities, Director Allison Stark. I'm really proud of the fact that we've met with her continuously every quarter, even through the pandemic, because these issues that we're talking about affect everybody in the system. And I'm really grateful that not only has Director Stark been willing to meet with us, but, you know, is willing to listen to what we have to say. And, you know, of course, as advocates, we do have to keep in mind that our job is to advocate. We shouldn't lose sight of that. And it is, you know, absolutely disheartening sometimes when you hear about the fact that there are people potentially that are not being treated the way that they need to be. And I know that those were allegations. And, you know, I'm not, as the Going Home Coalition, we're not going to comment on any proceedings that are happening with the people that were the staff members that showed. But we will say that we continue to communicate with Director Stark and the staff at the Division of Developmental Disabilities to make sure that everybody who lives there is afforded the opportunity to live in the community if they express that they want to do so.
And so the current rate structure is being changed. How is it changing in a way that will benefit people to be able to live more independently and out of those SODCs and other group settings?
Well, several things are being done as part of the rate study recommendations. So the first one has to do with workforce. So the first recommendation really talks about the direct support professionals and that they deserve a living wage. And the recommendation is saying that DSP wages should average about 150% of the minimum wage. That's a very big change.
You that's know, most still low, that though.
Yeah, that's still significantly lower than we're seeing. But according to the Guidehouse study, it's still going to make Illinois far more competitive than it currently is.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I 100% agree with you. There is not enough emphasis on the fact that people with developmental disabilities need support, and we cannot live as independently as possible if it isn't for support staff. So that's at least a step in the right direction. And again, we have so much more to go, we know. The other one that we're talking about is about disability service providers, that people that are living in higher cost of living areas should receive more money to provide services. So, for instance, if you are living in some place like Chicagoland, you're obviously the higher cost of living there means that disability service provider are going to be strapped a little bit more financially. So they are talking about the fact that it's going to vary based on where you're at in the state. The other things that we wanted to talk a little bit about that have to do with the service system and transforming the service system. We're really excited to know that one of the recommendations in the study talks about supported employment. It's actually going to benefit the state to improve supported employment services by increasing funding to support the activities that help people with developmental disabilities to keep and paid, obtain and keep paid jobs in the community. So we're really excited about that recommendation. And Tia can talk a little bit about employment, but employment is one area that we consistently see that people with developmental disabilities talk about the fact that they're not afforded the same opportunities and rights as people without disabilities.
Absolutely. Go for it, Tia.
Well, I think that employment is really hard nowadays, even during this pandemic time that is happening. For people to have a job, keep a job. So it's really been kind of exciting to see that people are getting creative and helping people with disabilities still have those opportunities for employment. So I think that the more people with disabilities are able to talk about employment and talk about what a job means to them, the more we're going to be able to educate others about why it's so important to fund employment and help people get those jobs and keep those jobs. For real job, real pay, there's a lot of laws coming out that are helping that. So making sure that people know about those things that could help people get a real job and get real pay.
Is there anything within the structure of the new funding mechanism that will allow people to leave their group setting and move to their own apartment and get the supports that they need to do that? Is it that far reaching or not quite there yet?
So a couple of the things that have to do with community integrated living arrangement homes, I guess some people refer to them as group homes. Currently, people with group homes, like the fact that they live in a villa, depending on the size of the villa, that can vary. It could be, 2, 4, that, et cetera, et cetera. So currently in the rates recommendations, it doesn't specifically talk about community integrated living arrangement homes, as well as the need for people to be able to move, between their living arrangements and, talking about the fact that if they want to live one place or the other, they should be able to move there. But one thing that I think is clear in all of the recommendations is that by really implementing the recommendations and funding them, people will have the opportunity to have more meaningful say in their day. So I think that's another important way to talk about this. Fourth recommendation says that people want meaningful days full of better and more choices. And that includes participating in activities. Like if you don't want paid employment, having the say in your program, if you want to do day services, if you don't want to do day services, maybe being able to be part of the community in other ways. And of course, having the more staff to be able to support those smaller group or individual choices. So while this specific rate study recommendations do not specifically outline that, we are absolutely always talking with the Division of Developmental Disabilities to find ways to address choices of where people want to live. So again, we have a lot of work to do, but this recommendations in the study is still going to, very much improve people's lives drastically than where they're at now.
I suppose a large part of the work of the Going Home Coalition is gathering the forces, getting people informed and motivated to contact their legislators and so forth. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Go ahead,
Tia.
I think that it's really important that we talk to people about how do you talk to your legislator? How do you tell your story? Why your story is important, that you don't have to do it alone. There are people there that could help you be a part of that so that your friends can go with you or somebody can go with you that you trust can help you talk to your legislator. Talking about building that relationship with your legislator, talking about why that's important and role-playing. Teaching people through role plays about how to talk to your legislator, how to tell your story. A lot of times people might be more comfortable learning about how to do that with somebody else that they feel comfortable with first, and then being able to advocate and to educate somebody else about what their story is about. And making sure people know, these are the things that are important to you and that your story is important and that we're here for you. And we can help you write things down if you need it written down. We can help you role play or practice. We can help you find out where your legislator is, who they are, and helping them build that relationship. And also to remember to thank their legislators. A lot of times people forget to do that. We always go to them and advocate or educate them about all the things that they're not doing. And we forget to say that, thank you for the things that you are doing.
Surprising,
and thank you for taking the time.
Yeah. Surprising though it may be, legislators are also human beings who appreciate compliments.
Right. And the better you do that, the better you form their relationship. I remember when we were working on a piece of legislation before, as people first of Illinois, we wrote a thank you card to the senator who supported our bill. And she had that thank you card on her bulletin board forever. She said, thank you so much because, I don't get too many thank yous and I get a lot of complaints and tell me what I do wrong, but not a lot of people say thank you and also thank me for the things that I have done on behalf of the people.
Yeah. Nafi, did you have something to add to that?
Yeah, definitely. I think the other cool thing about the Going Home Coalition is that it is very much people with disabilities, you know, are coming together, but they're also in leadership positions. We have three different committees currently in the coalition. We have the Leadership Committee, the Public Policy Committee, and the Communications Committee, all three of which are led by people with disabilities. We are not a token organization. We are a strong group of self-advocates, people that are family members of people with disabilities, and service providers and other allies who are really showing up for our community. We aren't just a name only. We are truly showcasing a best practice when it comes to systems advocacy. So I'm extremely proud about that. And I definitely want to make sure that we talk about the Going Home rally in a little bit, too, because I know that's a great opportunity.
We're quickly running out of time, but yes, please do.
So, Tia, did you want to tell people a little bit about the Going Home Advocacy Day since we're talking about it?
Sure. The Going Home rally is on next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and we will meet on Zoom. We'll be hearing from people with disabilities about their jobs, about about their lives, where they live, and what meaningful things they want. We'll be hearing from the governor, has a video speech. There will be also state leaders like Senator David Kaler, and also Secretary Hull and Director Stark will be on there. And if you go on the website to register at the Arc of Illinois, just select upcoming events at the top of the screen. And on the next page, click on April 27th in the event, and you'll be able to register. We hope there'll be more people. We have a lot of people signed up already, and we're hoping that more people join us.
Yeah, the strength in numbers for sure. So the website is the Arc of Ill. So the Arc, ARCOFIL.org. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we encourage folks to go there, register. There's nothing easier than a Zoom meeting. Are they going to be doing Speak Up and Speak Out this year?
Yes, we will be doing Speak Up and Speak Out this fall. And for all practical purposes, we are planning to have in a virtual event, unless, you know, miraculously something changes. So definitely we'll share that information once it's available. But plan on everybody still attending the Speak Up and Speak Out Summit virtually this year.
Yeah, that has been the premier self-advocacy event in the state of Illinois for, what is it now, 15 years, 16 years, something like that?
Yeah.
Do a fabulous job. So,
and that will be another opportunity for people to learn more about what the Going Home Coalition is doing, and also learn about how to get involved, and also advocate for the things that are important that are happening in Illinois.
Yeah, make life better for everybody. I appreciate the effort that you make, and the Going Home Coalition is a very important part of that. Thank you very much for joining me today, Nafi Ali and Tia Nellis of the Going Home Coalition. Thanks a lot. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your week.
Down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.
And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Coming up next is Food Sleuth Radio. And after that, Ben Theobald is in the house, and we'll hear a new episode of where we are at coming up at 6 p.m. So stay tuned for that and lots of great live local music here on WEFT later this evening on WEFT Sessions at 10. And now, without further ado, here is today's episode of Food Sleuth Radio. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, welcome to Food Sleuth Radio, where we help you think beyond your plate. I'm Melinda Hamelgarn, a registered dietitian and investigative nutritionist on